This is us learning in public, trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We were at the Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yes. We were literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
Yes. Okay. So this is very strange. This is the first time we recorded a podcast episode where we are not in the same room.
I know. It feels like we're being ripped apart.
Yes, we are. We absolutely are. Yes. And we are not at the library, obviously. We are in our respective homes. Mm-hmm. We are on FaceTime, so I can still see you, but it's very, very different.
I know.
Like everything in life these days.
Basically, everything's been fucking tweaking out. So we're just we're acclimating, we're trying our best, you know.
Yeah. So we thought what we could talk about today would be just how we're trying to care for ourselves and what we're trying to cultivate in our lives in this time where there's a lot of fear and anxiety, things are feeling really out of control, there's a lot of loss. Anything you want to add to
I was gonna say like of... loss and like fear of loss, like just sense of despair. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of big feelings, lots of heavy feelings.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. So in that context, well, first of all, we wanted to kind of, I guess, talk this out on the episode because we are not really sure how this is going to go. So I had suggested making this a news-free zone. So we were going to talk about, what we're trying to cultivate in our lives right now, how we're coping, but without talking about like
the hard
what's
hitting
actually
facts.
Happening. Yeah. Or like, oh, I'm scared because I heard X thing on the news or, you know, things like that. I wanted to keep it to talking about how we're coping without getting into the actual thing.
Yeah.
But then you said that might be.
I think it's tricky. I mean,
yeah,
I totally respect and understand the need to not want to talk about the news because like I'm very confident that we're all consuming news and we're all doing it like all times of the day, so I understand the need for a break away from that, especially in spaces we cultivate for like healing and liberation. And selfishly I wish that I didn't have to think about it all the time, like what's happening on the news. But as I told you in preparation for this episode, it's a lot trickier for me just because the work that I do requires me being very plugged into what's happening in healthcare as I work in like a political health environment. So, and just by virtue of my family, my mom's a nurse, so all those things feel like I can never really get an escape. So I was telling you, like I don't feel like I can bring that perspective of like no news zone, because I feel like responsible in some ways of knowing the news as to how it's going to affect my job, my work, and my family. So
yeah, and I totally hear that. And I guess in wanting to create a news-free zone for this episode, in no way do I suggest that what we should be doing is completely ignoring the news.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as much as possible, I mean, I don't think there really is a lot of balance in these times, but I think maybe respite is a thing that needs to happen sometimes. And it's really, really hard. I've definitely had days where I can't find any. It's just so heavy on me constantly. And I'm fortunate to not be in the same situation as you where, you know, your job forces you to think about it all day long, plus, you know, your family and all of those things. But I guess I've found that in order to stay resilient, in order to be able to like face the news the next time or face just what's going on day to day, I am trying to cultivate moments of relief, of like thinking of something else or being able to go into a different place.
Yeah. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
And I'm envious almost, I guess. Like I wish that I had that. And by no means am I saying that like I'm the most hard done by, and I actually do want to talk about sort of how, because we want to take the time this episode to talk about how we've been coping. And I do want to circle back to like thinking about like, well, I don't have it that bad. because that's been something that's been on my mind for the past couple of weeks, and I've noticed what that's doing to me. I'm sure we're going to get into just like, how are we staying, taking care, whatever. But that's like, I just want to put a pin in that because.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because experiencing our feelings without undermining them, I think, is a really big part of coping.
Yes, totally.
So I don't know. I guess I want to ask you the question. So I'll go first. So what I've been feeling a lot of is terror. I've been very, very scared. And in comparison to how heavy the terror is, there is a more like mundane anxiety of what have I touched and what's dirt? How do I clean everything and make sure it's not in my house and those kinds of things. So the terror and the anxiety are like two sides of the same coin for me. So my work, I guess, in these times of trying to take care of myself is I know that I can't get rid of fear and anxiety. Those are going to be things that are going to be present. I would like to reduce them as much as I can. And I'm trying to cultivate, in addition to the fear and anxiety in my life, I'm trying to cultivate joy and groundedness and calm when I can. I mean, I think calm in particular is very, very elusive right now.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like it's like you can't really catch that. I want to catch that.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess these are the things I'm working towards, and these are the things that I'm sort of deploying my skills to try to cultivate, even if it's for a moment. Mm-hmm. So now I want to ask you, how have you been experiencing this, and what would you want to, if you had a magic wand and you couldn't get rid of the hard things, but you could build something more positive to come in addition, what would it be for you?
So first question, how have I been kind of grappling with things? I would say I am grieving. Like, I'm feeling very aware of how things have changed and so quickly, and kind of looking back to what I did at the beginning of the month and how different that was and how differently I got to move and feel safe and feel like tomorrow is going to be a good day, and how different that feels now. It feels kind of more foreign to me. So I've just been like acclimating to, and maybe, you know how we talk about like you go through things and you sort of like build a callus, or you start to like flex that muscle to like understand how to, things become muscle memory. And I think I'm just sort of giving myself, I'm trying my best to make sure that I'm crying when I need to cry, because I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I'm feeling very raw emotionally. And then in some ways also, because I've been consuming a lot of news media, as has my partner, I'm also feeling very hyper aware of what's going on. And that's a lot. So what I'm trying to use my empathic sort of tendencies, because I have like a really soft, tender ass heart, for, I don't know, things that are more productive than just worry and anxiety, because I know myself, and I know that I tend to worry even on good days. I'm always worrying about the other shoe dropping. So when shit's hitting the fan, which it feels like it is for me, I'm just trying to hold on and like buckle up, and feel like I'm connected to something. I'm feeling very untethered. And
so connection is something you're trying to cultivate.
Connection with other people, but also connection and groundedness to like self and like where I'm at, temporality, like just being mindful of like what's tangible and real right now. Because everything
grounded
feels
in the here and now.
Yeah, because everything is starting to feel like, well, what about this and what about that? And like I said, I have a tendency to worry just on like off the bat. So I'm trying to catch myself when I'm spiraling.
Great. Yeah. So let's start with groundedness. That's something we had in common. We're both trying to cultivate more groundedness. Have you found anything has been helpful so far? When have you had moments where you feel a bit more grounded?
Yeah, like every time that I step onto I have a little balcony in my apartment, and every time I step outside and just like close my eyes or focus in on like what sounds do I hear that the animals are making, like birds, and mostly birds. And, yeah. And, you know, just the kind of hum that happens when you are like listening for other signs of life. It sounds like I'm speaking about aliens, and maybe I am too. But yeah, like I've just been trying my best to be a lot more like, okay, I'm feeling stressed out. I'm stressed out. I'm one person feeling stressed and overwhelmed and like in it. And I go outside and I listen to the birds and I'm like, okay, like the birds are still chirping. Like amongst all the things that are changing, that thing is staying the same. And I think as much as we lean into like God is change and change is inevitable, change right now feels fucking freaky. Like it's terrifying. Not feeling comfortable. Yeah, it's terrifying. It's not comfortable. Yeah. It's like unnerving. It is. Yeah. So just.
Yeah. And I've found the same thing. I feel the most grounded when I go outside. And that was something that has been hard because I've had days where I'm like, well, I shouldn't risk going in the elevator to get outside. And what I found, though, is that if I do face that, to actually go outside, stay my 2 meters away from any other human, but I'm able to actually breathe in the fresh air and move my legs. And I'm lucky that I live near Stanley Park. And if I go into the park and I'm around trees and ducks and water and just nature, that's the most grounded that I feel. And I can sort of start to, or I can just, take in that moment. What is this duck doing in this second, instead of thinking about what's going to happen in a week?
Absolutely.
Or tonight even.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that.
Isn't it interesting how much this has led so many people back to nature, I think?
And feeling a supreme amount of gratitude for the nature that we have like around us.
Yeah.
You know, and I live on the North Shore and I'm so blown away by like, we can hop in a truck and drive for 10 minutes and be somewhere like immersed in just natural world. That feels so comforting. You know, it feels so humbling. It feels like if everything goes to shit with me, like the trees are still going to be here. And I don't know, for some reason, like that is feeling really, it's just grounding and nourishing in a way that it didn't feel that way before, but I'm starting to feel like, damn, I need to spend more time in nature, you know?
Yeah, I do find that sort of zooming out and being able to take in creation, you know, and in its interconnectedness and in its vastness, I have always found that grounding, because there is so much that we can't control even outside of this crisis. There's always been a lot that we can't control. And being able to see that there are still things bigger than me and things that will outlast me and have been here since long before I was here, it is a kind of a sense of steadiness maybe for me.
Yes, absolutely. I would totally agree with that. And kind of, it's funny, yesterday I was having like sort of like a mental, I was very overwhelmed yesterday. Thinking about my mom, who is a nurse, and her just vulnerability to either get sick or be in an environment where everybody else is sick, and then thinking about my little sister Jo and how she's going to be. And so like just like a lot of family concern that I feel has been like weighing on myself since the beginning of the pandemic. And I was very aware yesterday in my like frantic freaking out, because I was like spiraling basically, that I was carrying this like knot in my stomach. And it was feeling like I was like, I'm feeling like I'm getting the spins kind of thing. And I had this thought where I was like, okay, I am not in control. Like, I'm not in control of like this pandemic. This pandemic is bigger than me. And the moment I had that thought, like part of my knot in my stomach already started to unbind itself. Like realizing how little control I have over the pandemic, like in its entirety, it's a global thing, was actually really freeing for me. And it felt so grounding, because I think I have the tendency to want to control all the things, because so much in my life in the past has felt out of my own control or in the hands of other people. And so as an adult, as like a, you know, young professional, as a queer Black like woman, I'm feeling like you know, I'm in this part of my life where I have so much more control and power to change the things in my, you know, purview. And this is the one thing that I actually don't have control over. Like, I can do my social distancing and I can wash my hands, but I can't make other people care about other people. I can't find the cure for COVID-19. I can't do those things. And I don't know. I was just wearing that like a weight on my shoulders and on my chest and in my gut. And so saying that out loud and like thinking that, and then coming back to like the now and recognizing what I do have control over. I was like on my patio and it was raining and I was like, this is my apartment. Like, I can clean my apartment. I can, you know, cuddle with my honey. I can make food. Like, that's what I have control over. And that was so freeing for me. And I wonder how that resonates for you.
Yeah, it made me think of last week at some point, right when, I don't know, things have been changing so fast and I'm not sure exactly, but when sort of when I was like, I'm never going to leave my house again.
Right.
I was really in this sort of state of panic and it was really focused on like, oh God, I can't get sick. I can't get sick. I can't get sick. And I think for me, I had a moment and it kind of went back to this whole health crisis that I had starting last year where I really didn't know what was wrong or what was going to happen. And there was a time where because of that, I thought, you know, I might get a really bad diagnosis or something. And I realized I couldn't control that and that I didn't know. And I had to learn how to be okay as much as possible with that not knowing and not, you know, maybe the horrible thing's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe it's not. I don't know. So I kind of went back to that and I was able to sort of think, you know, I might get sick. That is something that could happen. There's nothing I can do to guarantee that I won't. And I could kind of feel a little bit of like an easing, you know, because it's sort of the same thing. There's a lot that I can do. I'm not trying to say like I'm just
can't do
go
anything
my life.
At all. Yeah.
It's not it's like, of course I'm doing all of the precautions that I can, doing all of the social distancing, only leaving my house in essential times, but I still can't control it. And I guess I thought of, and this goes back to a spiritual principle, but I guess an articulation of it that has been very grounding that I've been able to come back to again and again was Chanel Miller. And so she wrote the memoir Know My Name after she was sexually assaulted by Brock Turner, and then wrote this memoir about her experience with the whole court case and everything. And I can't remember if she talked about it in her book, but when she sat down with Oprah, she was telling Oprah that part of how she got through that whole case was she just kept thinking, okay, for some reason I'm being given a window into the system and I can't escape it. All I can do is observe it and notice what it feels like to be here. And so she had to go through, you know, being cross-examined by his lawyer or like sitting there when his dad is giving this like horrific, you know, statement or things like that. And that was part of how she got through it. And I keep coming back to that because I don't know what's going to happen and I can't control it, but I just keep thinking, okay, all I can do is be here now and notice how it feels. And even when it's terrifying, I just have to be with that fear. Or, you know, tend to it in the best way that I can. But knowing that I can't control what's around me, I just have to show up. It helps me focus on the showing up part.
Totally. It's like the whole task of, you know, saving the world is this like laundry list of things. And you can only do one thing, which is take care of yourself and other people around you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that's really hard. I think it's really hard if you're a person, because I think both of us are the kind of people who are like, but what about other people? Like, how is everyone else doing? And you feel kind of like, I can only do so much. And I think one beautiful thing that all of what we're dealing with and going through collectively has shown me is that as a collective, we have so much power to support each other and to like be there for each other. And that at more than ever, we actually just really need each other. We really, truly need each other to get like the laundry list of things done. And if we're all taking care of ourselves and the people around us, then we're taking care of the collective. Then like,
yeah,
that's what we're supposed to do. Like my job and my role in life is not to come up with like the cure or like the test or the thing. I have to put my faith in like institutions that I oftentimes I question, and bureaucrats and politicians and things like that, and systems. So that can feel unnerving, especially if you're a person who is so tuned into how those systems oftentimes fail the most marginalized among us. You know, it feels like, shit, I got to listen. Okay, well, like Dr. Bonnie Henry said, like, what can you do, right? Like, truly, what can you do? It feels like you're in a bind. But there's some solace in knowing that we're all in a bind. I don't know if that even makes sense, but one of the things that always make it feel slightly better about suffering is to know that like you're not the only person who's going through
connection.
It. That connection.
We talk about that a lot, I think, how, you know, like with shame, having connection with somebody else helps. I think that's true in all of our pain, all of our difficult moments. It's like just to know that we're not alone.
Absolutely.
It goes such a long way.
Yeah. And then like to turn to the things that you are grateful for, the gratitude, the things that bring you joy, because that's all we have right now. It's things feel so uncertain that it's like I'm just like reaching for the things that I can hold on to and like holding on to them tight and being grateful for those, because I'm like, who knows about tomorrow? I think the temporality of just like life has been really like a big learning lesson for me right now. Like I'm less concerned about me getting sick and more concerned about people that I love getting sick. Mm-hmm. And I have the privilege of feeling that comfortable in my own health. And I recognize that, but the worry about other people doesn't make it any better. You know, like it's still terrifying. It still keeps you up at night. And yeah, I don't know what else to say, but like, we're in this bitch together. It's been fucking terrible.
Yeah. And you know, so one thing that's been happening that's made me feel that combination, the gratitude, the connection, the joy, is the 7 p.m. cheer. Has it been happening around you?
Yes, it has been. Okay, tell me how you feel, because I will
tell you how I feel. It is by far my favorite time of day. I look forward to it every day. I like pretty much cry like every time.
I cry too. I'm crying too. Yes.
It's just like, I don't know. It's this feeling of togetherness. And again, this feeling of all of these people who are doing this, you know, we're staying home trying to care for the collective and showing our gratitude to these people who are going out there every day and risking their own health and safety to help other people, and to be connected to that kind of the beautiful side of humanity, the people who are risking for others, like all of the things that we're all doing for each other, for the collective, that is everything right now.
Dude, I have goosebumps as you're talking about that. I feel the exact same way. Every single time at 7 p.m. when that shit happens, I'm like almost in tears or in tears. It feels
just say for people who aren't in Vancouver.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
So 7 p.m. cheer. Yeah. Every day at 7 p.m., which is when the shift change happens at the hospitals, everybody goes out to like their windows or balconies and makes as much noise as we can. We clap and cheer at like bang pots and pans,
shaking my tambourine,
music,
you know,
whatever it might be, to thank all of the healthcare workers for
and everyone on front lines too, like people who are bank tellers and grocery store clerks and all these people who are really interacting with the public on a day-to-day basis, some in healthcare and other and some not. It's such an amazing feeling, like you said, that we're all in this together and that we're connected to each other and that we're taking care of each other and we're all aware of the sacrifices that people are making on our behalf. Like it makes me so emotional. And from where I live, you can hear all the ships in the shipyard in North Van, like honking their like everyone's honking their horns. It's so beautiful. Like, honestly, it's a sense of solidarity that I feel is that exists that I didn't feel like that before at all with people that I lived around.
Same. So yeah, it's such a beautiful moment. It's also something I've really been enjoying is how much more people are calling each other. Like, I am a person, an introvert with anxiety, who often would just text and didn't call very many people, but it's been a really nice resurgence of that.
Absolutely.
I've really been enjoying FaceTiming people randomly or having someone FaceTime me randomly. just like checking in on each other, like actually asking each other, how are you doing? And yeah. having that be a real conversation. Yes. It's been, that's been like a really nice thing. I hope we keep doing that.
I know. And I think I totally agree with you. I know I'm talking to people more than I ever have before, and I'm already like an extroverted person, but the exchange and the level that people are willing to ask like how you're doing, even like work wise, you know, mm-hmm. usually emails are like kind regards and da, da, da. But everyone's like, how are you? How's your family? I hope that you're like remaining in good health. Like people are mm-hmm. wishing each other and putting, I don't know. I just think there's something important about people putting out that good energy of like, health and well-being and care and love and checking up on each other and taking responsibility for each other, that energy is doing something, is going somewhere. Yeah. If not, if only like for it to be nourishing to ourselves and to other people around us. But I think like it's doing something and showing us like, hey, like we actually do need each other. We do yes. need to do this whole thing together. If one person doesn't do it well enough, or if five people don't do well enough, or if 10 don't, it affects all of us, right?
Yeah. There's a big, it does feel like there's a big shifting in priorities and sort of realizing what is important.
Truly.
Right? And it's not, I mean, I would never have wanted it to happen in this way, obviously, but there is something to take from that. Even, I mean, it's so, so, so challenging. I feel like this is happening like on expert level and I don't have the skill of expert level, but it is really asking us to be very present in the moment, right? Because again, it's like there's all these things we can't control the future. We can't control the past. We can just show up in this present moment. And that's a value that I hold and that we talk about a lot, but it's hard. It's really hard to not be living in the future and in the past. But I feel like now it's like really being demanded of me.
Hey everyone, it's Nick
and Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends,
subscribe to the podcast,
follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast,
write a review and just tell us what you think,
and help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you. So given that it's challenging, I'm wondering what are things that you've been doing? We talk about groundedness. What are things mm-hmm. that you're doing to like make you feel happy and joyful and like yes. good inside? Because that's yeah. just important.
Yes. Okay. A big one is that I've discovered that there is a lot of Beyonce concert DVDs available to rent on YouTube.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I had no idea. So I'm like, okay, I've already watched her show that she did after she released 4, where she performed most of the album, which is amazing. Not enough people are into that album.
4? I have that DVD, baby. That shit is amazing. It's probably one of the most underrated Beyonce albums ever, but it's straight R&B. It's so good.
It's incredible. Yeah. They also had, like, there's a few of her other tours. There's also Destiny's Child tours.
What?
So that was like, I know. The other night when I watched Live at Roseland, it was the first time in days that I genuinely was like, just smiling and laughing and like having dun, a good dun, time dun, like, dun, like dun, dancing dun, at home by myself. It was like nice. Yeah,
awesome. That's dope.
Yeah, have you what about you?
What have I been doing? I've just been like laughing at shit on the internet, you know. Yeah. My regular self. Watching just like trashy TV. Been watching Tiger King. That shit's wild. Don't do it to yourself. It's terrible, but also we got to learn about these crazy people.
The memes.
It's crazy.
The memes
it's
from
wild.
Tiger King are the best.
I can't. other things bringing me joy is just like intimacy and like sex and like my partner and feeling closer to him, you know, being yeah. really aware of like, holy fuck, like I wouldn't want to be with literally anybody else, because like when I say he has survival skills, I mean, I'm just feeling very taken care of. So
yeah,
it's just been so nice to, you know, work from home with him and try to figure out how to do that. And it's kind of funny. And he's my work husband for real, which is jokes. And I think also just giving myself the time to enjoy the small things, like enjoying coffee.
Yeah.
Taking the time to, like, I have nothing but time. That's the thing. Like, I think so much of our life normally is us rushing around busy, 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 motherfucking busy. Mm-hmm. And now is the time to be like, I could take, you know, I could paint my nails. I could do that. I could do all the things that I didn't have the time for. And I, again, recognizing that how much of a privilege it is to be like, you know, boot up, have disposable income, have a stable job, like in this crisis, and not have dependents, you know, just that kind of the privilege that comes with that. But I'm leaning into it. I'm like being mindful of it. I'm being thankful for it. I'm acknowledging it. Other things bringing me joy is just like talking to y'all, talking to you, talking to friends, checking up on people. Like having a, because I'm a nosy bitch. So just having it be excuse to be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? So what are you doing? Who are you seeing? Who are you talking? Like, I like that. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with the privilege thing, I think all any of us can do is, again, find joy and pleasure where we can. Like, I have not had to set an alarm for several days.
That's lovely. That's and so lovely.
You know, and that's something, right? So just whatever it might be, a cup of coffee, like you said, or fresh air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, because I mentioned this earlier and I want to come back to it, is like that sort of policing of yourself when you're like, I know I have this, but like so-and-so has it worse. So like, I shouldn't complain because it's really hard for me. Because I've been doing that a lot. And I've been talking to other folks who are also in the same boat where they're feeling like they're not giving themselves the space or the permission to feel their feelings. Because this is a very hard time, and like feel all your feelings, express your feelings. It's really important that we don't get things stuck inside of us.
Yeah, because who is that helping?
It's
not helping anybody, right? Like,
exactly.
It doesn't help us show up for other people who maybe do have it worse, but to like keep those things, like you said, stuck in our bodies instead of just letting the feeling arise, being with it, letting it fall away. That actually will help us to live better, to show up more.
Exactly. Like create that space we can like have within ourselves to help other folks. And I think it's like
just holding.
Yeah. We're holding things in. And I think when we're so focused on, when we're not letting ourselves rather like feel our feelings, I think it takes us out of our own experience. And I feel like my therapist said this to me, so I don't know if I can claim that as my own original thought, but like it takes us out of our own feelings. And I think oftentimes that's helpful. We're trying to build empathy for other people, but then we actually just like miss out on creating empathy for ourselves, and then we're left with nothing. So it's like, you know,
and I also think the more that we're able to be with our own feelings, the more we're able to be with other people's feelings too, because I think if we're kind of trying to hide and run away from our own feelings, then we often unintentionally end up doing that to other people, because what they're talking about brings something up in us. And if we aren't able to handle that, then we end up unintentionally, we don't even realize we're shutting someone else down, or we're holding back from them, or, and people can feel that. I think that we have a more deep and solid connection with other people when we are able to just fully be open and not be holding ourselves back, which is something that you do if you aren't willing to feel all of your feelings, if you judge them instead.
Absolutely.
Have you had moments of calm in this at all?
Yeah. In the quiet moments before I get out of bed, before I check social media, when I'm just like, okay, I don't know anything. Today's a blank slate. That feels calming. I think that's probably like the only sense of calm that I've been getting. And then like being in the embrace of people, like spending time with Nolan, that is very calming because he's a calming ass dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But besides that, like everything feels like trying to push things at bay that aren't helpful. And then if I need to sit and cry, crying about stuff, and like letting myself do the ugly cry, the ugly sob, if only to create space in my gut so that I'm like, oh, I'm hungry, or like, oh, I'm not holding on to this anxiety anymore, like for now.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the calming. It's almost truly the calm after the storm of like bawling my eyes out.
Totally. That's so wise. And I think that's why a lot of us resist the big feelings. We're afraid that if we let that in, we'll never feel anything else, you know?
Exactly.
Like, oh, this grief or this terror, it feels so big that if I let it in, you know, I'll never stop feeling it.
Exactly.
But the thing is, emotions, they rise and they fall away and they rise again. And being able to just be with that, it creates, like you're saying, space when it falls away, it can be such a nice feeling. Yeah. Right? Of just like a
space. Spaciousness. It is space. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Because you only have so much, like if you think of yourself as like a glass of water, you only have so much capacity, and then it's like it's shit spills all over the place. So like when you cry, you're literally emptying out the, you know, you're dumping the stuff away so you can like put some food inside of you, some happy times, some joy. And there's going to be the sad stuff again that will like take you over the top. But like dumping out the sad stuff by like emoting as you need to in ways that feel like grounding and safe. And
it's laced throughout all this, but I just want to be really explicit about giving people permission or making space for people to really focus on themselves and focus on tending to themselves in whatever ways that they need. And of course, it flows outward from there. We want to also be there for each other and tend to each other as well. But I'm just feeling, especially as someone who's chronically ill, I don't have access to any of the treatments that are helpful anymore, which has been really challenging. And it's really led me to needing to focus my day on like doing as many things as possible that I can do that will support my health.
Yes.
And I just think in this time, everybody's struggling. Of course, we want to show up for other people, but we're never going to be able to do that unless we take care of ourselves. I know we've kind of already said this, but I feel like I can't say it too many times.
I think you're right. I think you got to keep on saying it, because as people who say it many, many times, I'm the first person to forget.
Yeah.
In true like Aquarian fashion, I just forget the shit that I say. So keep telling me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And like setting boundaries for ourselves. It's good to be informed. It's good to take care of other people and check in on other people. But we also have to protect our own well-being.
Yes.
And so you can keep up with the news and also carve out times for yourself that you don't look at it. And you can check in on other people and also carve out times for yourself that you just, your phone is nowhere near you. And that's okay too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I know we all feel really compelled to be connected to each other because it's a really scary time, but also give yourself permission to like turn your phone off. That's also fine. You know, as you were before this happened, continue to do the things you needed to, you need to do in the comfort of your own home that have nothing to do with technology. Read a book if you need to, take a nap, cry, masturbate, whatever it is. But like, I don't think we're in the state of mind to be policing each other or ourselves, especially about how we're supposed to get through this shit. Mm-hmm. You know,
we just need to listen to ourselves and each other as much as we can. And
like,
not judge.
Yes.
So for the BIPOC of the week, her work just feels really needed for me in this time, and that's Evian Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about her in our episode on shame, but I want to feature her work again because of her work with sensuality. So sensuality, it can be related to sexuality, but it isn't just about that. It's really about being in our bodies and feeling through our senses. And I think that is the foundation of all of the things that we're trying to cultivate right now, like the joy, pleasure, calmness, groundedness, being with the feelings as they arise. All of these things we do through our bodies. So she has a course called 30 Days of Sensuality that I found really useful and beautiful. Each day she gives you something different to do to connect back into your senses. On Instagram, she has been inviting people, for example, so we're all washing our hands a lot. And so she invites us to put lotion on our hands and make it last for 3 minutes to just like sit and really like
savor the moment.
Savor the moment, caress your hands, massage your hands, and like just feel what it feels like to rub lotion into them for 3 whole minutes, which actually for most of us is a long time to do that. But
it is.
Again, really, really helpful to slow us down a little bit and ground us back into our senses. She's also been hosting these like sensual dance meditations through Instagram Live. That's another big source of joy, actually. A lot of people have been doing amazing Instagram lives. So that's
true. I missed out on another a whole DJ set, you said, or some sort of beatbox.
Yeah, Timbaland and Timbaland and Swizz Beatz. They were going back and forth. It was like a beat battle. They were each like playing like their hottest tracks as like a battle. It was
personally choked that I missed that and that you selfishly did not tell me as it was happening.
I texted you as it was happening. You did not answer me.
You said after the fact. I was like, did you catch that? I was like, no.
It was happening. Yeah. I was looking out for you. Anyway, so Evian has been doing these sensual dance meditations through Instagram Live. And again, it's not about being sexy. It's about enjoying what it feels like to be in your body. And I think especially in these times, meditations, how we think of it normally, you know, sitting and focusing on our breath, for a lot of us, not accessible right now. For a lot of us, that's just like
the scariest shit to do.
Yeah. So something like dance meditation, where you're focusing on being present and moving your body and feeling what that feels like. So supportive. I also want to mention, actually, because before this whole thing happened, but not very long ago, she moved from, I think, Oregon to LA. And the night before she was supposed to leave, the U-Haul was stolen from outside of her apartment with a lot of her most precious things in it. And she really went through so much grief and loss, and documented a lot of it on Instagram, because, you know, so many of us follow her and were following the whole thing. And she's very generous in sharing her experience. And I bring this up because I think it can be so powerful and make so much space for us when we see somebody else feeling their feelings in public. And, you know, letting themselves go to grief and letting themselves cry and letting themselves be vulnerable and ask for what they need and tell us what they don't need. And she did that very, very publicly, very recently. And I think, yeah, it's a really beautiful space that she made, and that I think a lot of us now that we're experiencing all of this loss in all of these different ways, that we can learn from. So
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you to Evian, where your work is so generous and powerful, and we're so grateful for you.